Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and supernatural gifts. And I really appreciate the feedback that we've been answering some questions and concerns, because we want to be able to move forward talking about the Holy Spirit and the supernatural gifts with comfort. This is not meant to be a stressful experience. The Holy Spirit is your comforter, your encourager. He's not your slave driver. And the more we are flexible, trusting him to give us what we need to confirm what is from him and what is from other sources, this is where our confidence will come from. It's not in our own ability to discern or our own concept of what our job is supposed to be. So we appreciate that when God talks to us, when he makes himself known through the Holy Spirit, we are able to leave it up to him to confirm it, to encourage us, and to not be concerned about how we might be perceived or accepted in when we question what we're experiencing. So again, you are free to question your experience. In fact, you are encouraged to question it. As you do that, as you say, Lord, is this you? What am I supposed to do with this? Am I heading in the right direction? We become more acquainted with God himself. And when we do that, we become, again, more comfortable with him. And that's the bottom line of what God wants for us. Not so much being concerned about learning something or approaching him in a certain way or being achieving something. And we'll talk about this at some other point in time, but one of the things we want to look at some point in time is the value of learning. Why are you learning this? Why is it that you want to evaluate and be and experience and participate what the Holy Spirit does in our lives? What is your end goal? Why do you want to learn? And hopefully by now it's because you want to know God. And hopefully that knowledge and understanding takes the stress off. there's nothing at stake. If you choose not to pursue your relationship in this manner, that's fine. God still is completely one with you in your spirit, and vice versa. You don't even know that he might be dealing with something so totally different than what you expected. And he may be being totally silent in your consciousness and yet moving mountains in your soul, that he's keeping silent, that he's keeping you unaware of. And we want to let him do that. So we talked last week, hopefully encouragingly, sounds like it, about the Holy Spirit and his activities. And really, let's even talk a little bit about calling the Holy Spirit a him. We have this idea, okay, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the scriptures, there are certain qualifiers of gender. And there's even some that in the English we don't have. For instance, we have male, female, and y'all, which is you all, southern plural. And the way it has been interpreted, going from the different various Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew, cultural preferences were applied as that interpretation and translation was applied to the original text, or close back to the original text. So we don't want to draw any conclusions about gender when we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, when he was walking around here on this earth 2,000 years ago, was in a male body. And that's about as much as we can say. Because our concept of gender is strictly physical. And we've talked a little bit about this before, and I'm sure we will talk about it again. But we don't want to approach God as masculine, as male. Those are just, if he created you and you're a female, and he created you and you're a male, everything that exists on this earth exists in him first. So the whole concept of male and female is in him to begin with. So we can't really say that he's one or the other. He's both. And there's many other things that we can apply that to, that when we get all this struggling with good and evil, he's both. When he created evil. It was in him, and he pulled it out and made it a separate thing. And he created good. And good is not the same thing as holiness, which is his character. And we're getting a little far afield, but something for you to think about. But we want to start with the whole idea of, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, don't approach your relationship with him as on a gender basis. In other words, if you're a man, don't think of him as another man. If you're a female, a woman, don't think of the Holy Spirit as a man. Let him reveal why. Let him reveal himself on his own terms. This is just another one of those aspects that we are challenged to put aside our own beliefs and let God be God. I can just about guarantee that there are going to be things that he is going to put his finger on or do in your life or say that you're not going to think it's God, and it will be. And this is why we want to, again, to have our confidence based on our ability to hear his voice and test it. Test it as much as you need until you're convinced of something. It's okay. But he's drawing us to him rather than raising the bar. It's his goodness that draws us. And a reminder that who you are in your spirit is already one with him. That's a permanent change that can't be undone. And that our challenge is between our soul and our spirit. And that your spirit is already in the perfect will of God, 24/7, hearing everything he's saying, everything he's doing in creation, your spirit is already involved in. So we want to be aware of what our spirit is already doing. How do we do that? We remove the barriers, we receive the healing, we gain the revelation and understanding that comes with removing the wall, the separation that our enemies, the world, our flesh, and the devil have constructed between our soul and our spirit. And we do this now. We don't wait until we die and go to heaven, whatever that means. We do it now. So, how do we interact with the Spirit? Way back, before Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they communed with God, and they communed with each other on that spiritual level, spirit to spirit, their spirit to God as spirit. They were all one. They knew each other spirit to spirit. They knew God spirit to spirit. Their spirit dwelt within them and through them and permeated every aspect of their soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions, and their body. So when they looked at each other, they saw their spirit, and they used their spiritual senses and saw God spiritually, not as we think we see him, but their spiritual senses and their soulical senses were perfectly in line. So that when they walked with God in the cool of the day, they really walked with him. It wasn't like they sensed his presence. It's they were one with him, and they were one with each other, and they were one in themselves, spirit, soul, and body. Every spiritual aspect available in the spirit, God's spirit, was flowing from God to each of their spirits, then through their soul and body. In other words, they were connected. And what God was giving to Adam and Eve went from his spirit to their spirit without any loss of understanding or power or integrity. It was a perfect translation, transformation, what a thought created in God's mind was given to Adam and Eve. It was the same thought that he had because they were spirit beings. Each had the full knowledge, the the full understanding, the wisdom, the compassion, the motivation, the power, the full authority and dominion, the absolute strength and ability that was inherent in the Spirit of God. What we today call the manifestations of gifts of the Spirit, for them, for Adam and Eve, was a normal part of their everyday existence. Probably out of any example of what we're shooting for is that picture, that relationship between God and how he related with Adam and Eve. I do want to let you know that for those who are in the switchboard, if you have a question or you want to go on air, you can just hit the number 1 on your keyboard and I will put you on. Otherwise, just kind of assume that you're just wanting to hang in there, unless you want to sign into the chat room and post a question there. You're welcome to hang there and just listen. But in case you had a question or wanted to get online, I did want to let you know that's how you do that. So Adam and Eve and God communed, not the way we do now, because we are so out of tune with our spirit. They lived as spirit beings and communed with God, who had created them as spirit beings. They were spirit, they had a soul, and they lived in their bodies. But they were so full, they got their life from their spirit. So they were unaware of their soul and their body. So once they sought and accepted a knowledge of their own that came through another source other than their spirit, their spirits died. And they no longer had access to the life that had been sustaining them from the Spirit of God. Gone also was that source, that life, that enlivened their soulical, supernatural abilities to funnel the spirit nature. In other words, they could no longer receive spirit life, and they had to look somewhere else to get that life. So what used to be easy and part of their normal daily existence, communing and receiving life and giving to one another and being creative and everything that is the character of spirit, that was who they were. That was what they did. All of that died. And the spiritual capabilities became dormant. And the soulical senses that had been relying on these spirit senses all of a sudden didn't have any way of getting life out of interpreting the information it was getting. It's like throwing a little baby on an island and saying, take care of yourself. You're on your own now. And this is what, when you and I were born, this is where we start. Is without a spirit, being dead in our spirit, we have no way to receive the life that generates and regenerates that alignment into who God is, which is what he wants to do. What does he want for you? He wants you to be complete, entire, spirit, soul, and body, so that we are one in him, just as we talk about the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, being one. And that was Jesus' prayer, that we would be one as he was one with the Father. For us, this is an impossible thing to do. But this is God's job now. This is what he is doing in you. And he's not at all concerned about how hard it might be. He has a schedule and a plan and a training schedule that he has you on. And he draws us by the goodness of what he has in store for us. He doesn't want us crippled. He doesn't want us afraid. He doesn't want us wounded. And when we resist the freedom and the healing and the love that he wants to give us, this is where he just finds another way. Because he will not allow you to go through life, his life, wounded, hurting, rejected. He doesn't hold it against you that you are wounded, hurting, and rejected. He just doesn't, he's just not going to leave you there. He has so much more for you now, for all of us now. Which is why 2,000 years ago, he made a way. And it's simply by saying, okay, I want my spirit reunited with God. I want that new spirit. I want to be born of that spirit. To say that, we are admitting our nature without God is dead. But with God, you are now alive. I am now a living spirit. We have a lot of mess to clean up, but that part of the equation has been solved. It's done. It's finished. Now, he could just take us out of here and we could be done with it. Except what God has for us is to learn what I think Adam and Eve were lacking. They were with God before they lost their spiritual life. They walked with him. They understood and received everything he had for them, including life. They got their very life right from him. What were they lacking? Well, in one sense, they were lacking appreciation, gratitude. They didn't have anything to compare it to. And this is why they could be enticed. Not out of malice or something negative, but simply out of naivete, innocence, that they didn't know what they didn't know. They could not choose to follow God. They couldn't choose to love him. They couldn't not love him and accept his life, because that's all they had. You and I, this is how we can, when we start looking at ourselves and evaluating others, it's real hard to say, okay, this person's a Christian, this person's not. You look at how they live their lives. And for me, one of the big tells is, are they grateful? Grateful even in the worst of circumstances. Because gratitude is essentially an acceptance of God's life for us. It's not grateful for what he's done or given or, you know, I was so bad, I'm so grateful he saved me. No, it's that God's nature is to give, and our relationship with him is to unconditionally receive. And that gratitude stems from our realization that that spirit being reborn in us is unconditional. That we did not deserve it. We cannot keep it. We cannot live up to it. We cannot get rid of it. God simply being a loving God and a giving God loves us and gives himself to us. And all we have to do is say thank you. And now we're on the way to learning to live as spirit beings, but differently than Adam and Eve did, because we have gratitude. We know what it's like to live without life, without eternal life, without God, without spirit. We know what it's like because that's the way we were born. And the more we receive of what God wants to give, the more grateful we become, the more appreciative, because we are experiencing more and more of his eternal life on a moment-by-moment basis. And he shows us where we're wounded, and he heals us. He shows us where we are believing lies, and he speaks the truth. He shows us where we're relying on ourselves, our own crutches, our own beliefs, where we're believing lies. And he tells us the truth, and he gently takes away the crutches, and he helps us up again after we've fallen. And he takes us through the classes that we need in order to learn to live as spirit beings. So our life here is not about glorifying him. He's not on some cloud saying, oh, you know, nobody's glorified me today. Our challenge here is to receive unconditionally what he is giving unconditionally and just say thanks. You know, thanks, Lord. Now, what's on the schedule for today? What are we working on? And the more we can allow him to be the God, we can rest and let him do in us and through us. Now, he may have part of your training to turn the whole world upside down and evangelize the whole world and represent God who he is to the whole world. He may have you be quiet for the rest of your time here on this earth, never seeming to make a ripple. Either way, it's fine. Because this is about what God wants in you. You are his purpose on this earth. If he wanted to end wars, he could. If he wanted to evangelize the whole world, he could. He doesn't need anybody. He sent his son without anybody's help. He created this world without anybody's help. He doesn't need help now. So you and I can just rest and let him do what he wants to do in us. So we'll pick it up here next Sunday. And again, it's always great hearing from you. You can drop me a line, Diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, have a great evening.